Talo Falava, I'm Afamasanga Seyuli Salamasina Von Reiki, and I'm inviting you to join me on a journey through the evolution of our Pacific cultures on Culture Compass. We'll meet incredible people dedicated to preserving traditions while adapting them for today's world. Join me as we travel the Pacific Culture Compass, Tuesdays at 9 a.m. PNG time on ABC Radio Australia or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an ABC podcast.
ABC Radio Australia. This is Fresh Off the Field. The sporting spirit of the Pacific.
Malo lele and welcome to Fresh Off the Field, the sporting pulse of the Pacific. My name is Sam Wykes and I absolutely love bringing you Pacifica sports news and stories each week here on the show, as well as everywhere else you might see me pop up across the Pacific on the ABC. And as usual, on Fresh Off the Field, we'll be joined by two co-hosts from across the Pacific who will share the latest local sports news in the island. So let's get to them right now. My first co-host is a Nevan cricketer and commentator, Melissa Fare. Hello, Mel.
Hello, Sam. It is so good to be back on the show. How are you?
I am very well, and I believe this might be your last episode for the year. Am I correct
in
saying that?
It is indeed my last episode of the year, and I've had so much fun throughout the year. I'm a little bit sad that it's my last episode for the year, but I'm looking forward to next year.
Well, we are looking forward to having you back next year as well, but make sure you keep your phone on you because you just never know. There's still a few more shows left. Someone might pull out, and I'll have to give you a buzz to be first cab off the rank first one off the bench to be able to fill the shoes for us.
Oh, my God.
All right. But it's great to have you on. We're going to have a lot of fun today, but let's get to my other co-host who has represented Fiji in football. She's refereed FIFA World Cups and is an experienced commentator. We welcome back Finau Vulivuli Bula.
Bula from Fiji. Love being back.
Oh, it's great to have you back. How is beautiful Fiji?
Oh, you know, it's coming to the end of the season and just having some rainy weather here and there. But, you know, the spirits is high as Christmas approaches.
Oh, so you're in Suva, aren't you?
I am.
Of course, it's always raining there in Suva, but I'm sure the sun will come out soon. It'll be very hot and muggy over there in Fiji, but it's great to have you back on the show. But let's get to what's coming up on today's show. We're going to chat with Mila Pata, senior coach of Vanuatu's beach volleyball team, as they gear up for the Futures Tournament as the Pacific Souls representatives.
We're really proud that we represent Vanuatu and the whole Pacific at the world stage.
Then Basketball Fiji's acting COO, William Peter, joins us as their under-17 squads head to Samoa for the FIBA World Cup qualifiers.
Both teams have been finalized and selected and announced. We've gone through the selection process and a very talented group of young men and women that have gone through this process.
And you'll hear from Tongantala netballer Marie Hansen.
I think the bond that the girls have away from netball when we're not together and things like that go a long way. And I think probably one of the biggest things that we all have in common is probably faith, I think.
There's also news in the world of soccer, rugby, tennis, and of course, our very fun trivia and games. So let's rip in.
ABC Radio Australia. You're listening to Fresh Off the Field. Uniting the Pacific through the universal language of sports.
Yes, here on Fresh Off the Field today, you're going to hear sports stories galore. But at the top of the show, we do like to start big. So let's see what's floating around on
Coconut Wireless.
Yes, the Coconut Wireless is where we discuss the biggest news stories in your town. It's the sport or event or athlete that has everyone talking. And if it's making waves, it'll be on the Coconut Wireless. And Melissa, we're going to start with you. I believe we're going to start in PNG as well.
No, we're actually starting in Vanuatu.
We're going to go to Vanuatu. Someone on the run sheet stitched me up here again and said we're going to PNG. But it makes sense we go to Vanuatu. All right, Mil, what have you got for us?
Sam, the big headline right now coming in from Vanuatu is from Vanuatu Tennis, actually. And it's a great feel-good story because after 3 years, the Vanuatu Tennis Federation has officially announced that the return of their under 12 girls squad for the West Pacific Regional Championships, which will take place in January 2026 in Honiara. And we've got three young rising stars who will be leading this comeback in Solomon Islands for Vanuatu junior tennis. We've got Katalia Dima, who's 10 years old, Leisale Obet, who's 10 as well, and Miriama Rantes, who is 11. And these girls have been selected to represent Vanuatu, and the whole Vanuatu Tennis Federation and Vanuatu is currently buzzing about their participation and the return for our junior girls tennis in international and regional competitions as well. Assistant head coach of the team, Lorraine Bainamataku, has described this as a very, very huge breakthrough because, and she said that, you know, finally after many, many years, they've now able to put in a new team of three again. And this has come about through the development that Vanuatu Tennis has worked very hard to do in communities and in grassroots development as well. So Lorraine has said that they've seen the potential, the three girls' potential, and they believe that they deserve to represent Vanuatu, and there is nothing better than representing your country in sport. But, you know, the tournament's not even until January next year, but fundraising has also already began to try and ensure that the Federation and the team has enough money to be able to support themselves on their way to Solomon Islands. So if you are in Port Vila, if you are anywhere and you want to support the team, keep an eye out on their social media pages or reach out to the Vanuatu Tennis team and management in order to, if you would like to provide some support for them. But yeah, that's the story that everyone's talking about at the moment on social media in Vanuatu is basically a new generation of tennis talent that are stepping up. And honestly, it's very, very exciting to see that the development pathway for Vanuatu Tennis is growing again.
Let's get over to you now, Finau. What's the talk of the town in Fiji?
Well, you know, Fiji, rugby is like a religion back here. And so,
like most
Pacific countries. But yeah, what got everyone excited and talking was the inaugural Nations Championship kicking off next year. And especially with Fiji's inclusion, yes, everyone is excited. And, you know, we are looking forward to seeing, you know, our rugby warriors taking on the best around the world, really. And, you know, just putting things into perspective, the 12 top rugby nations will be participating in this championship. So just, you know, just looking at that, you have the likes of the Six Nations team, you know, all strong teams and nations coming to participate in this 12 nations competition. You have England, Ireland, Wales, Scotland, Italy and France, of course, big nations, big funding. We also have the four Sansa nations from our hemisphere. So there's New Zealand, Australia, South Africa, Argentina, and yes, adding to the 10, we have Fiji and Japan. So just looking at the list of participating nations, you know, and the significance of Fiji's inclusion got everyone excited because, you know, it kind of confirms what everyone has been seeing the past couple of years with the performance and the results, you know, the Flying Fijians cementing its status as one of the tier one nations. And so, you know, looking forward to next year in July 2026. So they'll be we'll be hosting some of the games as well as playing away games. So Fiji will host three Northern Hemisphere teams where we confirmed to host Wales, England and Scotland. Unfortunately, you know, due to logistical difficulties for the teams to travel out in the Pacific, we're quite isolated. And, you know, we don't have the venues to hold maximum amount of people. And so our ability to maximize revenue at larger grounds is a difficult one for us. So our home games will be played in neutral grounds. And therefore, the game against England will be played in the second round of fixtures, will be played in South Africa. And the matches against Wales and Scotland will be in round one and three. Is expected to be played in the UK. And the away games in November, Fiji will then travel to Europe to play in the against three teams in the Northern Hemisphere. So, you know, just looking at that, what got everyone excited, we've seen the results quite recently. So, you know, two decades ago, it'll be like a dream to try and get close to these big nations. But over the years with, you know, the right support, the right structures, we've seen Fiji punch above its weight. And then, you know, it proves that, you know, with the right talent and the proper development and just having the right pathway and, you know, with the governing body, Fiji Rugby, doing the right things, you can get the results and get noticed. And, you know, just being included here is so much benefit for the country, for rugby as well, because the competition, you know, kind of guarantees there's a lot of commercial revenue and investment involved. And so that allows FRU to then, you know, just grow further, develop their high performance unit. You also have, you know, youth programs, development programs. You have rugby in all categories for females as well. And so it's so critical for the sport in the country, but also in the region as we develop and look to retain talent for us.
Thank you for filling us in on what's flying around on the Coconut Wireless, Melissa and Finau.
Fresh off the field. The Sporting Pulse of the Pacific. ABC Radio Australia.
Yes, you're listening to Fresh Off the Field with myself, Sam Wykes, and we have Finau and Melissa as well. And it's time to find out what other sport is happening across our islands. And Melissa, let's start with you. We will go to Vanuatu this time, or are we going to PNG or Fiji, Tonga, Vanuatu, staying there?
Sam, in local football in Vanuatu, Vanuatu United FC has now completed its initial round of signings, confirming a full group of 12 players ahead of their debut in the OFC Pro League. And I know the last time I was on the show, I talked about them. It was the Coconut Wireless. They just had the first international signing, the very first signing for the club. But let's go through the squad, because I think it's very interesting, and it kind of shows how and the thought process that goes into selecting this squad. And there's big news in Vanuatu at the moment. But let's look at the squad, starting with the international signings who form the foundation of the team, as the Vanuatu Football Federation kind of were alluding to. Their first signing is 33-year-old Australian goalkeeper Matthew Acton, who has a lot of experience and brings many years of experience playing in the A-League, along with with experience from his time playing in Asian leagues as well. But he was the first signing for the club, and they are hoping that his leadership and will help with shaping with the team's professionalism as well, and the team culture, but also at the same time to help shape the team's defence. And joining him as well, the second signing, was the Australian centre-back Hassan Ramazani, who arrives from Queensland Lions FC, plays in NPL, and is also known for his very strong tackling and his composure as well. And Vanuatu Football have said that they think that his experience playing with Acton will help them settle quickly as well, and also putting the two of them together, they see it as a strong defensive pairing. And to complete the international signings and the international group, they've signed an American midfielder, William Cardona, who becomes the club's first non-Oceania signing as well. And they're hoping that he will bring, you know, a different perspective and discipline. You know, a lot of what they've talked about in the international signing is the fact that they are going to be coming in and setting the example and setting the tone, setting the professionalism and the team culture. So I'm really, really looking forward to see how these three players are going to kind of have the influence that they will have within that team. But from there, the club moved on to secure its Pacific regional players as well, starting with New Zealand winger Otto Louis Ingham, who brings strong football credentials as well. He plays for the Eastern Suburbs and also Auckland City FC, and they won the 2025 OFC Championship. So he comes with a lot of winning experience as well. And then you have winger Owen Smith, who is also from New Zealand, who is going to add a lot of depth into the team's attacking as well, and attacking transitions. And then rounding out the regional signings for Vanuatu for the club is Papua New Guinea's 19-year-old winger. He is currently big talk in terms of Papua New Guinea football as well. Raymond Diho, they're hoping will add a lot of pace, a lot of energy, and also is a long-term development potential for the club as well. But concluding the international signings and the regional signings, and having met all their requirements, the Vanuatu United FC then confirmed the new Vanuatu signings, which started with centre-back Michel Coulon, who was the first local player to join the team. He plays a major role playing in the Vanuatu's Premier League title as well, playing for Arkaun Yatel FC. And then from there, they've signed forward Alex Saniel, and then followed by forward Azariah Soromon, who has a lot of experience playing in Vanuatu, playing for Vanuatu, but also playing here in New Zealand. I'm saying here in New Zealand because I'm currently in New Zealand. But winger, and then they've gone and signed winger and striker Jody Tasip, who also joins the squad. And and they're hoping that he's played a lot of multiple youth international tournaments for Vanuatu, so they're hoping that he can bring that experience in as well. And then they've signed a young defender, Nicholas King, who is the club's fifth local addition, and he plays for Mauriki FC, and he has also spent a season with playing in Australia in the NPL as well. So King has also captained the Vanuatu under-23 side and also scored for the senior national men team at the MSG Prime Minister's Cup, which he scored a goal for that. And then the final player to conclude the squad, the 12-man squad, is 28-year-old defender Jason Thomas, who has been part of many, many Vanuatu sides and Vanuatu setups in terms of Vanuatu football. And they're hoping that he would bring some maturity and some consistency back into the back line as well. But when you put all of these signings together, the strength of the squad we're starting to see kind of the thinking that goes behind it as well, and what different strengths that they bring into the squad, and kind of having an idea of the strength that this squad will have in the coming up. So, you know, Vanuatu United now, they've got a solid defensive structure which is built around Acton, Ramazani, Coulon, King and Thomas, and then they also have very genuine attacking depth as well with Samuel Soromon, Tasip, Ingham, Smith and Diho as well. And then you've got the midfield, which is reinforced by Cardona's discipline and his balance and experience that he will bring from the United States as well. But from a Vanuatu perspective, you know, I think, you know, the mix of A-League players, NPL, you have OFC Champions League national team representatives as well, and then you have the domestic experience. It makes the team quite balanced, and I'm hoping that from this balance they will then, you know, develop some professionalism and become quite competitive as an e-Vanuatu club, and then representing Vanuatu as well. But I'm very excited about this team. We're looking forward to seeing if they're going to be signing any more players. But for now, that team is complete. The signings are now complete. The focus now shifts to fully preparing for 2026, for when the club will be making their first appearance in the OFC Pro League.
Very nice. And you used the right word there. It does sound balanced, that side. You've got a mix of youth and experience, and you focus on, the ham cheese elements, the basics, which is defence. That's the stuff that wins games. But what have you got for us from across the Pacific?
Well, across the Pacific, I actually came across this tournament while reading about the Vanuatu Rugby League's development team and their trip to Fiji. They're meant to be having a trip to Fiji, and I just read something really briefly on social media about them, and then I checked on Vanuatu Daily Post, and it turns out that they are going to Fiji for the Fijian Cup Nines, and apparently the Fijian Cup Nines now. I am taking a risk here talking about rugby again, Sam. But it turns out that the Fijian Cup Nines is one of the biggest rugby league events happening in the region next week. And I went on the website, and, you know, I have to say, great marketing, because the first thing that I saw is just another tournament. Think again, compete against the best in Oceania, relax and renew at a tournament like no other. And I love that so much. But the 2025 Fijian Rugby League Nines will take place on November 28 and 29 in Fiji, in Singatoka. And it is looking like it's going to be a major two-day competition. And I mean, Finau already mentioned rugby is big, is huge in Fiji. So, of course, it is going to be a major two-day competition. So the tournament features 12 teams altogether in the men's division and 16 teams in the women's division that will be competing. A total of 28 teams in total will compete across pool play and finals as well. I know that the Vanuatu development team will be in Section C in the women's division, but the teams will arrive from around Fiji and the wider Pacific as well, Vanuatu, and essentially best teams in Oceania competing in Fiji. It will be a highly competitive tournament where all club sides and development squads and representative teams will go up against each other. But, you know, I think within that large field, Vanuatu will once again be represented in that, and I'm very excited about that. And because I've been following Vanuatu Rugby League and their development for a really long time, it has been such a huge challenge for them. So I'm excited for them to compete in this tournament. And apparently they made their debut last year, and they will be they've returned home with valuable experience, and they're now looking to go back and compete as well in this tournament. But I just want to go through the teams that will be competing. So very, very exciting times for next week for anyone, all the big Rugby Nines fans. On the 28th and the 29th of November, the tournament will be happening in Fiji, and this is great for rugby, and I'm mostly excited for women's sport because that's kind of my jazz. But Thank you for letting me talk about rugby again today, Sam.
No worries. But I'm going to have to correct you a little bit. Well, actually, I'm going to let Finau correct you here. There is the two codes that that play in Fiji, rugby league and rugby union. And Finau, which is the biggest one? Please let my friend know which is the big one in Fiji.
Well, there's three in Fiji because we have the sevens, which I'll be talking about next.
But the code that plays sevens is...
The biggest is 15th.
Well, rugby union. It's rugby union at the end of the day.
Sam, I know. I just didn't want to boost your ego.
I'm just saying. So when you if you are talking about the Fijian other than the nines, make sure you say rugby league, not rugby, because people will think that we're talking about the main code, the game they play in heaven. So anyway correction there. That's all. Nothing big. Nothing small.
I appreciate it.
Just for next time. But let's move over to you now, Finau, who is in Fiji. What do you want to share with us?
And still on rugby.
Yes, let's stay there. This is turning into Indonesian footy.
We started with Union, 15s, and then a bit of league there. And then with the local sports, I'll be covering our seventh national team. The seventh series, global series, will be starting soon. And then our seventh teams have departed for Dubai. Now this team is led by, we've seen the head coach, Osek Kolinisau. He's no stranger to the sevens rugby space. Legendary former captain, he led Fiji to the Olympic gold medal in 2006, the first gold medal for rugby in Olympics. The boys are in good hands with all his experience. He's named a good squad that features, a mix of experience and veterans and, new talent. There's always new talent because of all the games that we have. There's always young talents coming up. He has named key returnees, which include experienced hands like Waise and Adungu. We also have Sakiusa Singila alongside core players such as Cheremaya Matana. And of course, we have Choseva Taladolo, the humble giant who enters the field as humble, but not so when he plays. But there you have him there. But also in the mix, we have a new debutant, newcomer, Apete Narongo, a forward rover. And now he's set to make his debut after impressing here at the local tournaments. So we, Osek Kolinisau and the team, the management team, is always looking out for new talents to bring in. And sometimes we lose some of these key players to the 15th side as well. So yeah, the men's team, they have been drawn into Pool A. And in this tournament, Pool A has been dubbed the Group of Champions. And, you may ask why. Well, Fiji is pulled with, drum roll, Argentina. Now, who's Argentina? They're just the reigning Sevens League champions. Also on that pool is South Africa, who's the current world champions. And France, who's the Olympic gold medalist. So, yeah, there you have it. Fiji, Argentina, South Africa, and France, all in that pool, which has been dubbed the group of champions. But, yeah, I'd rather call it the pool of death. But, yeah, in these Sevens as well, they have a new format. And why I call it the pool of death, because only two teams will then advance straight to the semifinals. So, every pool match is so critical for these teams, and it's more or less like a knockout stage. But also in the tournament, we have the women's participating, and our Fijiana Sevens team will be competing against in Pool A against, three major contenders. We have New Zealand's, one of the best women's rugby team. We also have France and US in their pool. So, as stated by the coaches, both teams, they are focusing to securing maximum points, early in the season. They know the higher intensity pressure as the competition continues and, grows up through the season. But also because of the new format coming in with only two qualifying to the semifinals. So, they need to be focused, getting maximum points, leaving no margin for error, against such formidable international rivals.
Man, obviously that is a tough pool for both teams, but the Fijian men's side, wowee, that's going to be very tough to advance to the semis from that pool. And to be honest, I think it's a good thing for Fiji, knowing that every game that they play in, there's no holding back. You put your best team out there, you play as hard as you can, and hopefully you're going to be standing tall from that pool, because if you get that pool right, that's going to feed in well for the rest of the series, because you know that you've knocked off, three of the best teams in the world. So I think it's a good thing for Fiji to really set the tone straight away for their campaign. So we're looking forward to seeing the results and that all unfold in the Sevens season. But let's head across the Pacific. And what's grabbed your attention across the Pacific?
Well, there's a lot happening in the Pacific, but I'll jump code to another sport in football. We're having the futsal game here in Fiji, but across in Port Moresby in PNG, we have the MSG Prime Minister's Cup. If you may ask, what is MSG? It's the Melanesian Spearhead Group. So the purpose of this tournament, it's really just to organize the Melanesian group to promote regional solidarity and develop football talent amongst the Melanesian nations. So, you know, just trying to get that brotherhood, also trying to develop and further enhance the Melanesian footballers and see what opportunities they have. So this tournament is a third edition. The 2025 MSG Group Cup is a third edition. But previously it was known as the Melanesian Cup. And it's always been the men's national team from this Melanesian nation that participate. But this year, for the first time, we have the women's team also participating. It's so important. It shows, you know, inclusivity and, you know, the significance for this is so, it's so important, especially for, I would say, for the Melanesian region, where we're more a masculine society. And so it's really big news. It's a big win to have, you know, women and men both participating at this tournament. And so for 2025, the participating teams will be Fiji, PNG, but PNG has two teams. So they have a PNG Gold and the PNG Red, where PNG Red is their under-23 team. We also have Solomon Islands and Vanuatu. New Caledonia is also part of the Melanesian group, but unfortunately they withdrew just before the start of the competition. Now the competition has started, and actually today is the semi-final. And qualifying to the semi-final, we have in the women's division, the first semi-final will be PNG versus Solomon Islands. And in the second semi-final will be Fiji versus Vanuatu. And in the men's competition, in the first semi-final, we have PNG and Fiji. And the second competition, we have Vanuatu and the Solomon Islands. So it's a great competition where the Melanesian groups come together, the teams come together and play the national teams. But this year, so because, you know, the women's team have also been included, and that is great news.
Beautiful work. Thank you so much, Melissa and Funau. It's always great to hear about the sport taking place throughout our Pacific Islands.
Gyaman Stapwe.
Yes, this is Gyaman Stapwe. We've talked plenty of sport so far, but we're going to have a little bit of fun and get to know our co-hosts just a little bit more, even though I feel like I do know them quite well, as we've been on a fair few times. But we're going to play Gyaman Stapwe, which is Talk Piss and Four, Pick the Lie. And if you've tuned in for the first time, each co-host will tell us three things about themselves. Two will be true and one will be a lie, and the other two co-hosts will try to Gyaman Stapwe them. And Melissa, I know you've been on a fair few times. You've played this game. It's getting harder and harder. But for your last one, potential last one for the year, we're going to go out with a bang. Give me some big fat lies.
Okay. My earlier jobs just after high school,
ooh,
I decided
this should be good.
I want to work.
With your pink hair? Or whatever hair colours you had before?
Pink hair happened during one of them.
Okay, fair enough. That's good to know.
So here are three jobs that I did fresh out of high school when I was looking for jobs. I was a receptionist, I was a teacher's aide, and I was a model.
A model?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, I wonder, I'm only just thinking, for like, models are usually quite tall.
Sam, you've seen me, but don't judge my height according to your height.
It could have been some high heel models. I don't know. There could be 10-inch platforms or something like that. But pink hair teacher's aide, pink hair receptionist. All right, there's some good ones here. Good ones here. Okay, Funau, what are you thinking?
I'm not good at this, but I'll go with the second one.
You don't think she was a teacher's aide?
I'm not sure. I'm just trying it out.
You're just trying it out.
I don't know whether, like, you know, you would have a qualification that would allow you to be amongst kids. I'm not sure. Like, maybe in Australia it's different from the islands.
I thought you were going to say she didn't have the qualifications to be a model. I was like, that's a bit harsh.
That's true.
No, don't be silly. What she's going for a uni degree. So are you doing that in between to be able to then... That's what helped you get into
maybe
uni? Don't know. This is a tough one. But I'm going to say you weren't a receptionist. I just can't see you sitting behind a desk making phone calls to people that you don't want to chat to. Or, serve people behind the desk and helping them out in some way.
So that's both your answers. Fidel doesn't think I was a teacher's aide, and you don't think I was a receptionist.
Yep.
Okay, Sam, you're correct. I just could never imagine myself sitting behind a desk.
I knew it.
Answering phone calls and doing that. I did do some modeling after high school. It was one of my first paid jobs. I was a teacher's aide actually in Vanuatu. I worked at the international school. So don't need a qualification for that because I'm just supporting the teacher, making sure that everything runs smoothly in the classroom and then helping out here and there. So, yeah, that was my two very first jobs, teacher's aide, and I did some modelling.
There you go. I knew it. You're too creative to be – I'm not saying – no disrespect to any receptionists out there. I'm just saying for your characteristics, I just felt like, you got to be out there. You're an out there type of person. Unreal. Perfect. Well, there you go. There's that one. We're going to go now to you, Fennell. What have you got for us?
Okay. So the first one is I have three brothers. The second is I'm a Catholic. And the third is I love sailing.
Can you give me the Our Father, please? The prayer. The Lord's Prayer. The Hail Mary.
Sam.
I'm here. You can confess your sins as well.
You're cheating.
I'm not. I went to Catholic school. My wife is Catholic, so yeah, I'm not a regular. I should be more regular at church, but I'm just busy. You know, I'm a little bit busy, but I need to make more time to go to church. Hang on, what am I doing? I'm digging myself a hole here, but I am thinking. Oh, actually, you go, Mel. What are you thinking?
I think you're so busy that you just don't have time to go sailing. Not that you don't love sailing or that you're not good at it. I just think, just don't have enough time. You're a busy woman.
That makes sense. Mm. Three brothers and being Catholic is probably like the obvious one, but I reckon she might, is it denominations? Is that what it's called? Yeah. I'm overthinking it. For now, I'm overthinking it. I am. I am, and I'm going to go with, I reckon you got more than three brothers. So, yeah, I'm going to go the first one.
So you're taking the first?
Yeah, I'm taking the first one.
Well, I think Fari got it. I love sailing. I thought it was obvious.
No, it wasn't that obvious.
So anyway, the reason I put it there, I just wanted to say a little bit about that is, I come from Savo Savo, and almost all the sailors that represent Fiji come from my town.
Okay.
So everyone loves sailing, except me. Because when I tried it out, the first time I went out, you have to duck every time they tack. And I always miss that and I keep getting my head hit. So that I was like, this is not for me.
Did you fall off the boat when you hit your head as well? When your
Fortunately,
head got hit?
I was still on the boat.
You're still on the boat. Okay, fair enough.
but I came back with bruises.
Oh, well, there you go. That would make anyone not want to go sailing for sure. No, I understand. I feel your pain. But there you go. We learn something new every week.
ABC Radio Australia. You're listening to Fresh Off the Field. Uniting the Pacific through the universal language of sports.
Yes, you're listening to Fresh Off the Field, and we're going to get to our interviews now because we always love to chat to some of the talented people in the Pacific, as well as hearing about the sports results and stories. We always love to hear from everyone involved in the game across the Pacific. And Mel, who did you chat to this week?
Well, I chatted with Milapata, who was a former beach volleyball player for Vanuatu, fantastic player, and is now coaching as the head coach for the Vanuatu Beach Volleyball Women's Team. And we started our conversations. I asked her about how preparations are going in Vanuatu for the Beach Pro Tour, the Futures event, which will be in Pompano in the US in a couple of weeks.
We've been preparing for the last few months, trying to qualify for the World Champ, and we missed that. But we tried to prepare more to go to US Pro Tour. So now with the girls, we've been training 5 days a week. So, yeah, the training is really good.
For the tournament in the US, Vanuatu is seeded second. Is seeded in second place in the tournament, which is a nice place to start. But how will you be approaching the tournament? Will we be expecting a medal? Are you looking to try and medal at that tournament?
Yes, so now we are seeded second in this tournament. Every team, we all train hard to earn the medal. But with Team Vanuatu, we like train a lot and we committed to our training and yeah, but we look for what to play for the medal, so to achieve the medal.
I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit here. Vanuatu is the only team from the Pacific competing at that Futures tournament. What is that like, knowing that you will not just be representing Vanuatu, but the rest of the Pacific?
We're really proud that we represent Vanuatu and the whole Pacific in the world stage. So, yeah, we are really happy to represent the world, Pacific and Vanuatu in the world stage.
Now, I know that this tournament is made possible for you through the support of Pacific Oar Sports, and they are going to be supporting you in that tournament in the US. What has been the impact of Pacific Oar Sports and the support on the team and Vanuatu Beach Volleyball over the last, say, for the last year?
Oar Sports been supporting us, especially for the World Champ, but we didn't qualify, so now they support us to go to US for the another tournament there. So we're really happy that Oar Sports can come in and support the team to go there, to play there. I think it's helped us to earn more points for the 2028 Olympic, that progress to that 2028 Olympic. So, yeah.
Beautiful work. Thank you for that. And for now, who did you chat to this week?
Well, I had an opportunity to catch up with Mr. William Peter. He's the acting chief operating officer for Basketball Fiji. And we discussed the preparation for the under-17 team heading to Samoa next month, but also the outstanding performance of the national team at the recent FIBA Ocean and Melanesian Cup. So, yeah, I started by asking what was key to their success.
I think key to their success was the inclusion of the overseas-based players that came through. We had a very short preparation time leading up to the Mela Cup, so the inclusion of these players to help with our local players was key. I think also key to the success was specific and regarding the women's team was the impact the national secondary school competition had, especially with the women's team winning gold. The competition, the format, and also the fact that they were basketball ready, they were fit for competition, was also a key to the success of the women's program, similar as well to the men. So we were happy to have both teams qualify to the 2027 Tahiti Pacific Games. And that was the main goal coming away from Mela Cup.
Now, coming out of that, with the success and riding on that, heading into in 2.5 weeks' time, the baby of the national team, your under-17 team, they head off over to Samoa for the FIBA Under-17 Oceania Cup. How has preparations been?
Yeah, so preparations have been really good for both the men, the boys and the girls teams. Both teams have been finalized and selected and announced. We've gone through the process of the selection process, and a very talented group of young men and women that have gone through this process. And it's just a testament to the local development programs that are happening around the country in the different associations, and the fact that it was a very tough decision for the coaches to make shows the amount of talent that we have locally that are ready to compete at the national level. And so through the preparations of the training squad, I think we've selected the best team that we can take to the under-17 Oceania Cup.
Definitely a tough one for the coaches. We've seen the secondary school competitions in Fiji, how tough it is with the inter-secondary school competition, and most of them, as you mentioned in our chat earlier, coming out of that. Now, you'd be banking on some of the experienced players like Makaefa Sabu, Amelia Lobenden, Zach Tuivanovo and Saula Koroi to spearhead the team going into Samoa. How important was their inclusion in last month's Mela Cup to gain experience for this upcoming event?
Yeah, it was very important. It was very key. We had Zach and Saula being a part of the training squad and named as non-traveling reserves in the men's team. So that exposure and experience in training with the national men's program really has boosted their confidence and also their ability to be able to lead the under-17 group with Makefa and Amelia being able to travel with the women's team and experience the taste of winning. While also experience what it means to represent the country in the national senior women's program has really also prepared them for leadership roles and leading this under-17 girls team to Samoa. So their inclusion was very much what was expected, what was calculated as well by our national team coaches, and is setting them up, or has set them up to be able to lead these teams, our boys and girls teams, to Samoa.
And I caught up with Marie Hansen, who had a special surprise after one of Tonga's 2023 World Cup games.
Nah, I had no idea. So I think with me, when it comes to netball, I get fully locked into that. And also I'm very kind of like gullible. So like my partner had told the whole entire team and everyone around me had known, but because I was like only focused on netball, I had no idea that anything else was coming up.
So when you think about that game, didn't get the win, so you would have been probably a little bit disappointed. What was it like then going into such a surprise like that after a loss, like the immediate loss of a game?
Yeah. No, it was very overwhelming. I remember because I'd been, you know, like we played a lot of hard teams in that, so I was very like drained by the end of it, almost like relieved that the tournament was over. So I think I was very emotional after just because of that. And I guess kind of soaking in the whole fact that we were, you know, at a World Cup. And so I was really emotional about that. And then we went to bow down to the crowd. And then as we like bow down and then I look up and I see a bunch of signs and stuff and they flip and then I realize that it's for me. And so yeah, it just kind of threw me off and, yeah, like took me by surprise.
I bet it would have been a massive surprise. Anyway, let's wind it back from the beautiful island of Tonga. Whereabouts is your family from?
So mum's from Holonga and Tu'akaloa, and then dad's from Leimatua and Palevai.
Nice. And have you been there regularly or have you gone back at all? With netball or just as family trips?
Yeah, so like my very first time going to Tonga was through the team, so that was a pretty big deal. I've only been to the main island though, so I have been to mum's village, but I haven't had a chance to go to dad's island, Vava'u, but definitely something on the bucket list. I'd like to go there hopefully sometime soon.
And when you went back there with the team, you know, what was that experience like, not only going there to meet family, but you've represented our tiny island and you've all done an amazing job. But yeah, what was that experience like being over there and seeing the people that you're representing?
It was pretty surreal. I think it's one thing to see and hear all the support and messages that you get from everyone online, but for us to go over there and see it for ourselves and, you know, like feel all the love and support from everyone, yeah, that was just something else. Yeah, it's hard to describe, but yeah, like that, the feeling, like being around all of that, yeah, that was something special for sure.
When we talk about your netball career, from where it started to where it is now representing Tonga, did you ever envision that's where you were going to end up representing the red?
Yeah, definitely. I think growing up, we always had little like Pacific Cup tournaments, but I never, I guess, pictured that representing Tonga would ever take me somewhere as far as, well, like all the places that we've gone, you know, World Cup qualifiers and all that, the Pacific Oz series, all of those little things. I think we've actually achieved quite a lot in such a short amount of time. So I never thought that representing Tonga could bring so many big achievements like that.
Obviously, now ranked, is it ninth in the world at the moment?
I think so. Sounds about right, yeah.
The rise of Tonga, you know, and getting into the top 10. Yeah, how did that come about, like in terms of preparation and players putting their hand up to represent Tonga and actually get into these tournaments? Like, how did that all come about for it to grow to where it is now?
Yeah, so I think it did start off a little bit, what's the word? We kind of pulled in girls from different parts of Australia and New Zealand. And it was, I think it might've been like a week before or a couple of weeks before. So there was a lot of preparation that the staff were having to do to get a team together to actually go to the tournament. So starting off, it was a little bit messy, I guess you could say. But I think as soon as the girls did get together, I think how we bond off the court, I think actually really helped us and how we kind of connect on the court as well. So I think we're kind of lucky that we get along the way that we do off the court as well.
Nice. And what about some of the challenges that come with assembling a team, you know, from Australia, from New Zealand, from some of the girls from the island, especially with the lack of funding around it? Like, what else are some of the challenges of bringing this team together?
I think it is quite difficult because we are scattered around in different parts of Australia and New Zealand and Tonga. I think it's hard to kind of monitor each player. And because different girls are playing different level of netball, so some are like SSN or ANZ, NNL, that kind of stuff. So considering that our staff also have full-time jobs, as well as the players as well, or studying or things like that, I think those are probably some of the challenges, just trying to work around that and balance that, I think, is something that we've been trying to work around.
Well, how do you connect as a team? You know, like, what are some of the things that, I guess, around our Tongan culture that helped you connect and gel as a team, knowing that you don't get a long preparation together?
I'm not sure. I think it's more just, I don't know, it's kind of just the connection that the girls have. We stay in touch and we stay connected with each other, even though we're in different countries and things like that. So I think the bond that the girls have away from netball when we're not together and things like that go a long way. And I think probably one of the biggest things that we all have in common is probably faith, I think. That would be another huge thing that keeps us connected and all on the same page. And our wives also, it aligns with each other's why. You know, like, we all do it for our family, God and our country. So that really helps to go a long way.
How do you express that with each other in terms of your preparation? Like, you know, we have faith. I know that we have the Himi Taha Taha Whā, and people, that's a popular hymn that gets sung to remind us who we are. But how else do you incorporate some of our Tongan culture to help prepare for games and being in camp?
I think for a lot of the girls, being in the Tongan team, we're still kind of getting familiar and learning a little bit more about our roots. So I think a lot of us were raised, you know, in Australia or New Zealand, so we're not as in touch as we would like to be. But I think through things like learning about the culture, Himis, like you said, we have like a song, a team song that we do sing sometimes, Dohiki.
Oh, yeah.
So,
You do the first line, I'll do the second.
Oh, but rusty. So. But yeah, no, we do pull that out sometimes. So, we're still learning as well. Yeah, so it is something we're still kind of trying to navigate through.
Nice. And personally for yourself, like, how does it make you feel that you're representing your family and your country on the sporting field like that? Sporting court, sorry, on the court, not the field.
Yeah. You know, it's huge. I don't know. It always makes you feel, it's easier for me to put in more effort and try harder when I know it's for, say, like my family, for example, because I know the sacrifices and things that they've, you know, made for me to get the opportunities that I do have. So it's hard to describe, but it's when you step out there on court, I feel like you kind of feel how proud your family are and everything. And especially when you see them afterwards as well, and, you know, they get emotional. And I think, yeah, it kind of hits you how much it means to them to be doing something like that. Yeah.
What's been your favourite moment to date representing Tonga?
There's a few special moments for me. I think it was this year we had a tournament, and that was the first time that my mum was able to come over and watch it live. I know my dad has also really wanted to do that, because whenever I come back home, they're always just, they've got the games on replay. So having mum come over to watch one of the tournaments was probably something special.
You know, what's it like for mum and dad to see you and just to see their tiny island where they grew up in, or, you know, where their family ties are, you know, putting it on the map?
Yeah. Mum and dad are very humble, and I think they don't really know how to express kind of like how proud they are or what it means to them. So I think that's how I know how much it means to them, is because my dad kind of gets emotional and like cries at just, you know, the one thing, like little things like me just taking a shot and it goes in, like things like that can set them off. So I think when I come back home and I see them, and, you know, they're really excited around me, but they, like, around other people, I know that they're a little bit more reserved, or they don't know how to kind of express them. Yeah, I think their emotions kind of tell it all for me. And then hearing them when their families ask about it, you know, like, I know that they're proud, and because they kind of put up photos and stuff of the team and the girls around home. So so I think they, I think they're pretty proud of what we've done. So, yeah.
And what's next for the Tala? Like, how do they get into, say, like the top five, and how do they get to, you know, competing against say, like the New Zealand team or the Aussie team, the Diamonds?
I think for us, what's next for us will probably be the Commonwealth Games. I think our preparation in the next few months leading up to that will is really important, I think, to help us almost get to the next step of hopefully cracking top five, top six, whatever that is, but just climbing the rankings. I think the Commonwealth Games, I think, will help a lot with that. So, yeah, we'll see. I'm not sure if we have any more tournaments in between leading up to that, but I'm sure the staff have something planned for us to get the best players out there to represent them. So, yeah.
Love your work, ladies. I really appreciate it. We always love meeting people in sport from across the region.
Fresh off the dome.
Yes, it's time to play Fresh Off the Dome. Before we finish up, it is our Quizmaster, and we test your knowledge of sport in the Pacific. And every week, I'll ask three questions, and Mel and Finella, they know the drill. They'll use their name as their buzzer. And, of course, you can play along at home as well. So let's get into Fresh Off the Dome. Are we ready?
I'm ready.
Yes.
You don't sound it, but let's kick it off then. Who can? Let's go. Question number one. Some of Samoa's youngest weightlifters delivered record-breaking lifts in Melbourne over the weekend, with athletes like Sene Stowers, Emmanuel Ulimasau, and John Tuffy setting new Oceania, Commonwealth, and even world youth records at the 2025 Australian Championships. How many attempts do weightlifters get when competing?
Melissa.
Well, I'm going to have to go with you, Mel.
Three?
Oh.
Okay. This is an absolute guess, but three.
Yeah, it is. It is three. Each athlete gets three attempts for their lift. So three attempts on a squat, bench, and deadlift. For now, I did hear you say the answer, but Mel beat you to the buzzer with her name to get in there first. So just got to be quicker next time. Right answer, just a little bit slow off the mark. A little bit of, like you're sailing. Okay, let's go to question number two. The Cook Islands' most anticipated and largest sporting event, Vakaeva, kicks off this week in Rarotonga. What part of the body is most vital for power and engagement while paddling in a vaka?
Melissa, let me have a guess.
Go for it, Mel.
The shoulders.
Yeah, I would have said that too, but...
is it not?
Well... Okay, I'll go to Finau and find out. Let's see what Finau says, and then we'll determine who gets it right.
Would it be like the torso?
You know what, Finau?
Yeah.
That is correct. It is the torso.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense now.
Your rectus abdominis muscles.
Wow.
Great cheese off the abs of some of those athletes.
So, I was just going to say, does that mean they have six packs, all of them?
Yeah, apparently. That's the most important part. So thank you for that question, Tiana. That was very well thought out. Well done. Well done. Out of everything from across the Pacific, that's what we came up with. Perfect.
I love it.
It's obvious we
don't. Oh, here we go. We are on fire, fresh off the field. The sporting pulse of the Pacific. Let's get to question number three. Who was the last island nation to get a spot in the Rugby Union World Cup for 2027 here in Australia? Who was it?
Finau.
Go, Finau.
I know. Yeah.
Samoa,
it was. They held on for a tense final period, finishing, 13-0 with Belgium. But I believe the rules are because Samoa qualified before, they get to go through. And I could be wrong on that, but that's what I'm throwing out there because they've gone through. So congratulations to Samoa. They take the 24th spot. They did it the hard way, but they're there. So Manu Samoa, they're going to be in a tough pool, but I've got no doubt they'll be ready come 2027. And who actually won? Because I was talking a fair bit of rubbish there for a little bit. So who won here?
Finau.
Finau, yes. Finau. The chocolates go to Fiji. One another, Fiji. One another.
Finally.
I've got to win some for Vanuatu. I've been on a losing streak.
That's all right. You better luck next year. Come prepared for next year when you're back on with us. But that brings us to the end of the show for this week. A big thank you for the last time, potentially, for our Nevan cricketer and commentator. Thank you to Melissa Fade.
Sam, potentially for the last time, thank you for having me on the show this year. I had so much fun talking about Pacific sports this year and looking forward to more next year.
Absolutely. I can't wait for that. And Big Vanaka Vakalevu, direct from Suva, Fiji, Fijian ex-footballer, referee and commentator, Vinaka Vakalevu, Vinau Volivoli.
Vinaka Vakalevu, Sam. Love being on here again.
Oh, we love having you on as well. But as always as well, thank you for listening to Fresh Off the Field, the sporting pulse of the Pacific on ABC Radio Australia. And I'll be back with two new co-hosts talking all things sport in our region. And this episode was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people.
This program has been funded by the Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade.